Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and praise for all that you've done, for all that you continue to do in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And our Lord God, as we stand before you, we ask you to speak a word for us, speak a word of love and a word of peace, speak a word of hope, Lord God. Speak, because we are listening. And we need you in our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all the blessings that you continue to pour down upon us, even through difficult times. We thank you, Lord God, that as we look to our nation, we see that there are things that are coming back to some form of normalcy. And we thank you. We know it's because of your grace and your mercy. And Lord God, let us be a beacon of light here in this place, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all of this in your name, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is Mustard Seed Faith. Mustard Seed Faith. I read this, a reflection that is a true story, like many of them are, most of them are. And this is about a young woman. And it says, faith of a woman murdered by ISIS. Kayla Mueller, 26-year-old, was captured by ISIS on February 10, 2015. The U.S. officers confirm that Muslim extremists had murdered her while in captivity. In the spring of 2014, as a captor, she wrote to her family. The letter begins with Kayla's assurance that she had been treated well and is in a safe location, completely unarmed and healthy. The 26-year-old aid worker goes on to apologize touchingly to her family for the suffering that she has put them through because of her captivity. Then comes her central proposition. I remember Mom always telling me that in the end, the only one you really have is God. I have come to a place in experience where, in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to our Creator. Literally, there was no one else. Kayla, who was involved in the campus ministry at Northern and Arizona University, goes on to relate how, by God and by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in the free fall. She adds, I've been shown in the darkness light, and I've learned that even in prison, one can be free. I am grateful. I have come to see that there is good in every situation. Sometimes we just have to look for it. She concluded, please be patient. Give your pain to God. I know you would want me to remain strong. That is exactly what I am doing. Do not fear for me. Continue to pray as will I. By God's will, we will be together again. All my everything, Kayla. Unfortunately, the Lord would take her home, or fortunately, take her out of that captivity. But her faith stood strong. Trusting in God in those circumstances is not easy at all for any of us. It's not easy for any of us, friends. Faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust or confidence that no matter what happens or what happens, that this thing, this person or thing that I have my faith in is going to do right by me. Faith is strong belief. Is a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof, faith in God. And we see in the Bible there are levels of faith. We hear about levels of faith in the Bible. We see great faith. Jesus talked about great faith. He said to the centurion, when the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant would be healed." When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such faith, not even in Israel." So we see great faith. And we see people with unwavering faith in the Bible. We see, it says in Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he was promised his faithful." We see people who have strong faith, faith that doesn't seem to shake. They said Abraham is the father of faith, because we see that he was to take his son. The angel of the Lord had told him to take his son and to bring him to be sacrificed. And Abraham did, was laying him on the altar to be sacrificed, his only son, his son of promise, because he believed that God who gave him that son, if God was going to take the son, then God had a plan. And he, as he was getting ready to offer his son as a sacrifice, a ram would show up and save him. And so Abraham was called the father of faith. And they say, Christian believers, we have been grafted in under Abraham because we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? And then there are people of little faith in the Bible. Jesus would say in Matthew 6:30, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much clothe you and me?" Having faith that what? God will provide. No matter how hard it looks, somebody needs to hear that today. I know God will provide. No matter how dark it looks, no matter how weary it looks, God will provide. Right? And then we see people, they say in the Bible, we see people doubt, have weak faith. And we see in Romans 4:19, Paul says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, 100 years, and his wife womb dead." Speaking of Abraham, that not being weak in faith, they would believe that God could give them a child in their old age. And so we see weak faith in the Bible, and then we see folks who are growing in faith, which hopefully it's most of all of us here, growing in faith. A growing faith steadily progresses from a measure of faith or to a great strong faith, day by day growing in faith. And then we hear James talk about faith without works is dead. But he says, but someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith and my works." Faith without works is dead. That means if we have faith, we must what? Be doing something in the name of the Lord. And then we have the time when our faith wavers, friends. Our faith wavers, doesn't it? And so, James also said, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways, wavering faith." But today, I want to talk briefly about a measure of faith, right? A measure of faith, right? Having a measure of faith. Jesus says to his disciples, the focus of the mustard seed faith. It is like a mustard seed. He starts out first. He says, at the beginning of the parable, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. So Jesus was saying, listen, every day we get up, in a sense, we don't know how we get up. We sleep, we wake up, well, we don't know how we get up. Yet it happens. Right? Having faith in God day by day, it happens. Right? We go to bed, we wake up the next day, and we don't know how. He said, but when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, and because the harvest has come. And we take the blessings of God every day, even though we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know exactly where they're coming from on earth, but we know that through God and because of God, it happens. And then Jesus said, he compares the kingdom of God. He says, it is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its tree. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. Just to give you a little background, the mustard seeds are the small round seed of various different mustard plants. And the seeds are usually about 1 to 2 millimeters, tiny little seeds, right? And in diameter, and maybe they may be colored yellowish, white, brown, or black, but they're the smallest little seeds. And yet Jesus is saying, if you have faith as small as that seed, and now we call that now a measure of faith. We begin with a measure of faith because without it, none of the succeeding steps of faith would be possible. And God has given us, as the writer, as the scripture says, a measure of faith is given by God to all of us. Amen? We all have a measure of faith. Do not compare your measure of faith with anybody else because you really don't know their measure of faith. Not because somebody pretends that they have all faith, or speak like they have all faith, or could pray or preach, and you think, oh, they must have all that faith. It's not true. You should only concern yourself with your measure of faith, because God has given us all a measure of faith. It is a faith that has not grown, but is sufficient for belief in God, our measure of faith. And Romans 12:3 referred to this measure of faith. The measure of faith is a gift from God so that we can believe in God. So sometimes I think we get caught up in trying to figure out how much faith we have. Is my faith strong enough? Is my faith is not as big as that person, or that person must have a lot of faith. Wasting our time. What Jesus wants us to have is to what? Exercise and use our measure of faith. And no matter how small it is, Jesus will receive it. Amen? Believing in him. Now, thus it is not the amount of faith that we have, but that there are times that our faith wavers. Is anybody's faith ever wavered here? Through circumstance and situation, your faith wavers. Yesterday, you know, we have our annual conference, and it's on Zoom. And the pastor, who I told you, Pastor Robert Walker, who lost his two beautiful boys, young son at 38 years old, he came on to speak for a moment because he's retiring from the conference. He was, because he's been a pastor for 43 years, even though he doesn't look it. And he began to speak. And as I looked, we were on Zoom. We've been on Zoom for 3 days. Today's ordination. I'll be going to the church because I have two folks that I mentor who are being ordained. So I have to be there with them. But on Friday, when he began to speak about his faith in God, and he says, you know, we're still grieving. The grief will continue for a long time. But it's our faith in God who is bringing us through. literally, I began to cry watching him on the Zoom. Right? I had sent him a text and sent him another thing and wrote something on the service Facebook. It was the last week, Saturday, for the second boy. And I looked at him and I says, my God, give him strength. Give him that measure of faith that he needs to continue, God Almighty. He's a pastor who has served God for 43 years in many capacities. A writer, he's written book. Right now he's doing prison ministry. Yet he would lose both boys. When that mother stood up at the funeral last week, which I watched on Zoom, on Facebook, she began to speak, and as she cried, I know we were all crying and praying for our faith in the Lord. When your faith wavers, and then he said, it's only because of God and of you, my colleagues and family and friends, that I am going through day by day. We're praying for his faith and his strength in the Lord so that he does not, him and Donna, does not break down. They've lost their two boys. Our faith wavers because we're human beings. And so we have to look to God and hold on to his unchanging hands. When the bishop called his name and was speaking about him and giving him thanks because he was a bishop's assistant for 8 years, the bishop began to cry because our hearts are broken for him. And we are praying by faith. You see, it's not the amount of faith that Reverend Bob has. It's not how big his faith is. It's not how small. If his faith is just one little tiny mustard seed, it's the fact that he has faith in God that will bring him through.
Amen.
He may not have faith as big as this, like some folks. He may have just one little tiny bit, but that's all that he needs for God to bring him through. And God will. That is not the amount of faith that we have, but there are times when our faith wavers. Let me give you some points of when our faith wavers. Number one, when we allow our feelings to overcome our faith. Our faith wavers when we allow our feelings to overcome our faith. And that's very human. Because Reverend Bob, he can allow his deep hurt to overcome it. Because that's human. But when we take our eyes off Jesus, right? When we take our eyes, our faith wavers. The songwriter says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look upon his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in his light of his glorious grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I have to turn my eyes upon him all the time. When things don't look bright, when I'm overwhelmed, turn my eyes upon Jesus. And look upon his wonderful face. Look upon the light of Christ to bring us through. Look upon that light, that hand, and call out to him. When one faith wavers, not on friends, not on family, but on Jesus. There are times one has to get down on your knees and just turn their eyes upon the unseen God. But the God who would lead Jesus Christ to live in us. And cry out to him, Abba Father, help, Abba Father. When our feelings overcome our faith wavers. Number two, when trust in the Lord is in conflict with human reason. When it becomes a conflict for us to trust in the Lord, because we begin to put human reason. Faith is not a thing that human being can reason out. We may try. But either we believe it or not. Number three, when we fail to see God at work in our circumstance, that's also difficult. When we're going through a difficult time and we have to seek God in our circumstance, we have to seek and say, God is working it out for good. I don't get it. I don't understand it, God. I'm not happy that it happened to me. But God is working it out for good. Scripture says, well, he who had begun a good work in you or in me will bring it into completion. And so we begin to trust God no matter what. Amen? Because God is all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipotent, omnipresent. Number four, when we listen to negative counsel, that's a mistake we have. When we listen to people who tell us, God ain't going to work it out. God is not, what are you waiting on, God? Which God are you waiting on, you know? And they begin to give you negative counsel. When you're going through, you do not need to get negative counsel from folks. You need to find folks who will give you positive counsel. Help you through. I was speaking to a gentleman the other day who's going through a difficult time, and he spoke to me about it, and I said, hold on, let me see what I can do to help. And I'm trying to work some things out to see how I could help, trying to give positive counsel in a hard situation. The last point, our faith wavers when we focus on our circumstances rather than on the Lord. When we just focus on the circumstances, that's when we take our eyes off Jesus. We focus on the circumstance. Now, as I stand here today, we all know we've been praying for Lisa Wunderlich, amen? Member of our church, and she's doing well. She called me and last week and told me that all went well and she will not need radiation or chemo. But this morning, praise the Lord. And we prayed, everybody prayed. But this morning, I got a text from her. I told her I'm going to tell the church. Frank, her husband, had a heart attack. Oh, they're being tested. Had a heart attack. He's in the hospital. They put in 3 stents, and he's doing better. Frank Wunderlich, my God. But she had the wherewithal to text me this morning at 7 o'clock and said, Pastor, pray for us. Frank is doing better. He had a heart attack, and they put the stents in. We just don't know what's going to happen. So I'm asking all of you today to pray for Frank Wunderlich as you pray for Lisa. She thanks you for your prayers that has brought her through. And in the midst of good news, she's going to baptize her grandbaby. Her daughter got engaged. In the midst of good news,
amen,
the enemy will come and bring bad news. But she's standing on her faith, and she loves her church, and she's asking for prayers. And that's why we're here. Because Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot explain it. He was speaking to them about the ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. And Jesus certainly makes all things new. All things new. Things that look bad, sometimes he will turn it around. But Paul was warning them, don't walk by sight. Because, you know, it doesn't always go the way you look at it. But walk by faith. And the songwriter says, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed me yet. So I can't turn around. I can't turn back. For he has never failed me yet. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, bless his name. Amen. Oh, we have come this far by faith. Hallelujah. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. So, he's never failed me yet. Has he failed you, church? If he hasn't failed you, give him a praise offering. Would you just give him a praise offering? If God has never failed you, no matter what the circumstance, he has never failed us. He'll bring us through. And so we could stand here and testify. And we could stand strong for Linda Wunderlich as we strong stand for ourselves, because we don't know when our time will come. And for all those who are going through in this congregation who are looking for work, I know there are folks who have been out of work, and I'm praying for them. And God has given me a message for them today to say he has heard and he's working it out for your good. He says, for he has worked it out for your good. For he knows the plans he has to you, my brothers and sisters. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future with hope. But he says in your word, you must call on him. Seek him with all of your heart. And you will find him. And he will turn it around. Because you've come this far by faith. Amen.